Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris. Hope you had a wonderful holiday week. Welcome back to getting some work done and thinking about our investing strategies. On this show, we aim to make you a more intelligent real estate investor, navigate these crazy times that we're in. At the end of the day, I believe real estate investing is the number one way to build wealth. If you look at the tax code, there is nothing better than investing in hard assets, something that's going to actually produce monthly cash flow for you. When you invest in a piece of real estate, especially if it's like a turnkey piece of real estate, it should be cash flow positive from day one. That should be the case, right? And you should be able to buy at appraised or below appraised value when you're purchasing your property. You should be able to use financing, keep more of your own money in your pocket, use the bank's money to build wealth. That's what we teach you to do here on the show. I should mention, we do have a free PDF. It's totally free. It's about 3 pages. I would love for you to download it. It's our financial freedom cheat sheet. It's the thing that changed my life, honestly, when we figured this out, my wife and I figured this out. These numbers, running these numbers to figure out, well, what number will we need to hit in our family to hit financial freedom? That's what this freedom cheat sheet teaches you to do. It's 3 pages. It's totally free. Just go to our website. Just go to morrisinvest.com/freedom. Download it for free today. And I think it could change your life. Yes, I do. I really do. Changed mine, and it's changed hundreds of our clients' lives as well. And thousands of our listeners who've listened to this show, we receive the emails from you. So I know that it works, and I know that it's transformative. So thank you. Thank you. All right. Without further ado, let's take some of your questions today on the show. Our first question is right here.
Hey, Clayton. Great content, by the way. I'm learning a lot through your videos. My question is, I have 10 mortgages already. My lender can't lend out anymore, but I do want to grow more. I'm motivated to grow more into my portfolio, whether it be single family or even apartment buildings. I know you have to get a commercial loan for if it's more than 4 units. I'm in New Jersey. I don't know if you can recommend some banks that will help me grow my portfolio. Just listening to your videos, I've gotten 10 properties, single family, within like 6 years. So, your videos are really, really helpful. And I wanted to see if you could share some knowledge on that, how to grow my, my portfolio. I'm determined to do a couple more. If there's more information, not on hard money lenders, I know they charge too much. If there's like some kind of funding, or maybe you can share some insight on that, that'll be, really beneficial to me and my, I guess everyone that possibly, wants to grow more portfolios after your 10th one, because the bank won't lend me any more mortgages. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this.
You bet. And congrats, man. 10 properties in like 6 years. That's awesome. Awesome. I think that's what you said, 6 years. Wow. Congrats. That's amazing. You're on your way. So what I recommend, you hit that 10 property threshold, right? And that's why at our company, at Morris Invest, we have a separate program called our non-recourse financing program. So we will work with a lot of investors like you who want to buy properties, not in New Jersey. We don't do New Jersey, but we do it in the best states in the country, like Texas and Missouri, who are most landlord friendly and have the best returns. So what we'll do is we'll have somebody like you who will come, like a bigger investor who has 10 properties already, but they want to add more to their portfolio, but they can't because they're up against traditional restrictions on financing. And so we have non-recourse financing, so they can then work with us, and you're going to put down a little bit more money rather than your 25% down. It could be, 40, 45% down, but then you'll get non-recourse funding from the bank. And it's on the asset itself, and they don't care about the 10 properties that you already own. It doesn't matter. So I would definitely recommend non-recourse financing. Now, again, we have it built in because we work with these lenders ourselves, so we have a great relationship with them. And so we were able to keep our interest rates lower than the other going rates for non-recourse financing. So if you're buying properties in New Jersey, if that's where you want to buy properties, then I would highly recommend you develop some relationships with some of the local banks and find out if they do non-recourse financing. Because let me just tell you this, it's difficult, okay? It's difficult. We've had people that have worked with us in the past that said, you know, I want to buy a property in Seattle. We're like, okay, that's a very overpriced market, but you have your heart set on it because that's in your backyard. Great. And they said, well, we're going to go out and really try to find non-recourse financing from the local banks here in Seattle. And they do. And they come back to us. I'm using this as one example because this happened. This client came back like a year later and said, I found non-recourse financing, but their interest rates were so high and they really didn't like the assets that I found. So they just wouldn't finance it. Like I kept bringing them properties, he said, and the banks were like, sorry. Because at the end of the day, the bank doesn't care about you, right? They're looking at the asset. As a non-recourse lender, they're looking at this asset to see, is this a great property? Will it yield great cash flow? Is it in a great location? Does it have low crime? Is it in an appreciating market? Is there job growth? They're looking at so many factors, okay? And in fact, I love non-recourse financing because it's like a triple layer of protection for your investment, right? Because they are doing so much due diligence to make sure that this asset is amazing because you could literally skip town and move to Nicaragua. And guess what? They're stuck with the property. And so it's going to be a non-recourse loan, it's non-recourse against you, right? It's against the asset. So they're looking at this property saying, this is a great asset. The cash flow is great. It's in a great location. And if John skips town, well, then we roll it into our bank's portfolio and it's a great asset. And so that's why it's very, very difficult. But they will do it. You just need to find banks that are amenable to non-recourse financing. So the first thing I would do, you sound like you're a really determined person and a really hard worker. You have 10 properties in 6 years. You're a hard worker. Is get on the phone with these banks. Go and meet with the bank managers and talk to them about non-recourse loans and show them the types of properties you're investing in. If you're doing it in New Jersey, again, I don't know the landscape there right now. I don't invest there. But show them the assets. Say, I'd like to buy this property. Will you offer non-recourse financing on this property? And they might run their numbers and say, no, to us, the bank, it's not a good investment. So we're not going to do non-recourse financing. And in some ways, that's a layer of protection for you because it may force you to rethink that investment. Well, maybe it's not as good as I thought it was. They're looking at all sorts of data that maybe you haven't even thought of. So we've developed these relationships with these non-recourse lenders and they come to our job sites. They watch our new construction being built. They know the school districts. They know exactly what we're building. And so that's why we have such a great relationship with them. They will finance our properties on a non-recourse level because they're amazing assets and they know this and they're vetting them. They're not just doing it out of the kindness of their heart. They're watching these properties being built. They know the school districts. They know the cash flow that they will yield. They know the demographics. All of that goes into it. So sorry to go off on non-recourse, but I'm passionate about it. Most people don't know about non-recourse financing. Most people have no idea it even exists. I've done whole videos on non-recourse financing. So that would be a solution. If you have your heart set on New Jersey, develop your own relationships with some banks and talk to them about non-recourse financing and ask them, what will you give funding on? Like you keep saying no to all of the properties I'm bringing you. What is it you don't like about them? What would you provide non-recourse financing on? Can you show me an asset that you would say yes 100% to that? And that might guide your investing in New Jersey a little bit differently. Now, you mentioned private money or hard money. Again, that is an option you can develop. I would give a call to Kyle Jacy's team in New Jersey. Kyle Jacy runs an investment team in New Jersey. I think he's out of Jersey City. He's a good friend. I forget his company name off the top of my head, but we'll link it up in the description below. I'll have my team do that for you. Asset Partners. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. Anyway, he'll do private money, bridge loans, and hard money loans. Tell him I sent you, and maybe you guys can set up and get like a line of financing, maybe like $1 million line of financing based on your past projects that will allow you to buy additional properties more quickly. That's what Natalie and I did at one point, got a larger line of credit, which enabled us to invest more quickly. So these are, again, options. Non-recourse financing, developing relationships with these private lenders and hard money lenders, and see what you can do from there. And, or, you know, also talking to other people that want to raise money with you and go in on some investments together on a partnership level to create an LLC and kind of going in together on different properties. So anyway, awesome job that you've taken action on this. Really fantastic. And good luck to you. Thank you so much. All right, our next question from Derek.
How you doing, Clayton? My name is Derek O'Neill. I was just wondering if you were talking about investing in real estate stocks or physical real estate, and what would be a better choice for someone that only has about $1,000 to $5,000 to invest in? Would it be actual physical gold, gold mining stocks, or something of real estate? Thanks a lot, man. I love watching your channel.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Derek. Well, again, I can't tell you how to invest your money. I invest in a lot of different things, okay? Real estate is the top of my list, okay, by a long shot. Nothing even comes close from a tax benefit perspective, from a cash flow perspective. I invest for cash flow and the tax benefits. As Tom Wheelwright likes to say, you should never invest just for the tax benefits, right? If real estate is the only reason you're investing is for tax benefits, you shouldn't do it. But the cash flow, right, is unbelievable. And the net worth building that you're able to accomplish as a hedge against inflation is unbelievable. So to me, real estate is the top of the list. Then I own gold and I own silver. Okay. And I've taken some of that money that was in a savings account that I don't want to lose value every day because the US dollar continues to lose value. I want to convert that into gold and silver. So if you've got $1,000 that's just sitting there and you'd like to, you know, put it into gold and silver, think about doing that. I would absolutely consider that, you know, so that you can reach out to our friends at Lear Capital. If you go to learcapital.com/Morris, they'll help you out and they can help you get set up with an account and you can buy gold coins, silver coins, silver bars, gold bars. You can have it stored offsite or onsite, wherever you want. That's something to consider. And then also if you want to invest in real estate on a real estate fund, we partnered with the folks at Connect Invest and they created something just for our listeners. So if again, Connect Invest allows you to invest in real estate funds and so you're investing in actual properties and you can do it for 12 months, 18 months, 24 months. If you come to our website, go to morrisinvest.com/connect for as little as $500, you can start investing in real estate. And so check that out. That might be an option for you, but these are all different options depending on your risk tolerance and what you're interested in. And also what is your long-term goal? You know, with Connect Invest, you can receive really great returns in a short amount of time. So if you want to do it for 12 months and get like a 9% return, 8% to 9% return, great. You know, that's something you can do. And then you can take that money back out after it's grown a little bit. And then you can reinvest it. You can use it for a down payment. If you've put, let's say you have 20,000, right? You could put 20,000 into that for a year, allow it to grow nicely, pull that out, and then reinvest that as a down payment on a physical property that you own. So a lot of different, solutions. Anyway, I hope you found that helpful. Thank you so much for the phone call. All right, next question.
Hi, my name's Rick. I'm watching your show. It's Over for the Middle Class. My question for you is, you keep talking about buying more and more properties. You know, some people are using HELOCs, you know, but you always want to have more properties so you don't pay more taxes. My question to you is how much cash do you have in the background if, say, you know, you own five properties and all of a sudden three renters bail on you and now you've got your mortgage, you've got your HELOC mortgage, you've got your mortgage on the three properties. Where's all that cash going to come from to pay for your rent? So that's my question to you. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Rick. Well, that's the reason you want to make sure you have reserves set up is for such an occasion, right? But to have five properties and have three of them be vacant for a long time, then that tells me you're probably not investing in the best markets, right? There should be a very low vacancy rate in the towns that you're investing in. So for instance, where we build and invest and build our properties, the vacancy rate is very, very low, right? And you can confirm this by speaking with the property management companies. You know, here you can look at the data and find out what the vacancy rate is for that particular town, okay? And then you can also talk to the property management company, comparing it to the town. What is your vacancy rate compared to the demographics of, say, Pocatillo, Idaho. I'm just making up a town name, right? And if the property management company says it's higher than the vacancy rate of the town, then that's a problem, right? So the property management companies that we want to work with and that what we vet and work closely with will have a very low vacancy rate, right? It should be at or below what the town demographics say the vacancy rate is, okay? But to have a vacancy for that amount of time that would really disrupt your investing tells me that maybe you made the bad investment up front, okay? Now, if you're smarter, though, and you invested in towns that are in many ways recession resistant and have a diversity of jobs, so you're not just investing in one town where there's one employer, the super Walmart, as I like to say, or the one oil refinery, and that one oil refinery closes down and everyone loses their job. Well, I don't invest in towns like that, and neither should you, right? This is why I really caution people against like investing in pandemic towns. You know what I mean by that is like tourist towns, like Vegas. We saw what happened when the pandemic hit and these governments shut these places down. All of these people lost their jobs, the casinos, everything was, you know, dark. So as an investor, that means that all of those rent tenants like worked at the casinos and they were out of work. And who's going to pay the rent? So I don't want to invest in places like that. I want to invest in places that have university systems, hospitals, multiple jobs, right? Healthcare, technology. So there's multiple jobs to pick from. So I think you can do a lot. I think what you're talking about are some of the symptoms, but I want to prevent those things from ever happening. But as Gary Keller writes about in his great book, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, you want to make sure that you've got a reserve of cash from the tenants. Like, you know, you want to make sure that you're putting money away every month, that cash flow that comes in, putting it away as a making sure that you have a kitty saved up, a protection against vacancies, a protection against a water heater that breaks. You want to have those reserves set aside in case such a thing does happen. And that way you're not underwater. The problem is that people back in 2008, they got underwater because they didn't even have income, right? They didn't have a job. And the homes then, if they went to go refinance the property after a 5-year adjustable rate mortgage, the home wasn't worth what they paid for it and they lost their shirt. And so then they were totally underwater. And a lot of them actually didn't even have jobs. They didn't have income to show for it. So making sure that you're not spread too thin and you're not over-leveraged. Not over-leveraged and making sure you're investing in the right towns, Rick, that's the best thing. And also making sure you have a schedule of reserves set aside. And again, your mileage may vary. You know, for me and for Natalie and I, because we're buying new construction, your amount of repairs are going to be very, very minimal. So then what do you do with that additional cash flow that you're not spending on fixing water heaters and things? You can reinvest it. You can put it in a savings account. You can do whatever you want with it to make sure you have that cash on hand. God forbid you have 2 months of a vacancy. I got to say, like, if you have like a 2-month or 3-month vacancy and it ruins you financially, then you've done something wrong, right? That should not happen. If you're getting $1,000 a month in cash flow from one of your properties and your mortgage is $700 a month, and that tenant is covering the mortgage, and that $300 you've been pocketing, you've been spending on beer and going out to movies and stuff like that. Well, you should be putting that $300 in a you know, something that is there for you for a rainy day, because now that tenant is helping you build equity, and that $300 could be reinvested or saved. So you almost pretend like you don't even have the money. That's been always my advice: is pretend like you don't even have the rental income for now. Because there's three stages of real estate investing: buy, own, and cash flow. And you're in the buying phase. When you're in the buying phase, pretend like you don't have any of that cash flow. right? You've got a mortgage and that additional cash flow. Put it in savings and save it up. Put it in a really safe place that grows for you. And then God forbid you have a vacancy, which everyone will have a vacancy at some point. How do you deal with that? Does it ruin your life? It shouldn't. If it's going to ruin your life, then there's other things you need to get in taken care of before you become a real estate investor. But if a 2-month vacancy ruins your financial life, you know, it's like Jerry Seinfeld says, you know, like the, he makes fun of the Tide commercial, right? It gets out bloodstains, you know, Tide gets out bloodstains, shows a mom holding up these like bloody clothes. And he, you know, his joke is, you know, if you've got a lot of, if you've got so many bloodstains in your family, maybe laundry is not your biggest concern. And that's kind of how I feel about real estate, right? Like if a 2-month vacancy is your biggest concern, then there might be something else going on in your life. And I think you need to get your financial house in order, because a 2-month vacancy should not kill anybody, right? You should have some safety structures in place to protect you and your family. But great questions, guys. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Fern. I appreciate it so much for your great questions here on the show. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail question, come on over to morrisinvest.com. That's the place to go, morrisinvest.com. And there's a microphone icon on the right-hand side of your screen. Leave us a 30-second voicemail question, and we will attempt to answer it here on the show. Now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. And we'll see you next time, everyone.